ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
And a very good Friday morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha just jumped behind the steering wheel. Well, I think our man Skinny got some fuel, and that means coffee. I'm not sure, as he finally shows. Was it that long of a night, Aaron? Was it that long of a night where...
Listen, when you have to carry the station on your back...
When everybody's out.
I know what Jim's going through on a daily basis. I just had to do it this morning. When you have to carry the station on your back, you have to do things.
Oh, boy.
That you don't always have to do.
I'm trying. I get that.
There's no coffee, so somebody's got to make
there
it.
There was no coffee.
There was no. There was just a tick of coffee.
We need a rule in this building. It's already a universal unspoken rule that if you're the last person,
who do you think that was?
I'm gonna guess the same guy who broke the chair in here. That guy. But that's the rule, right?
Yeah.
If
well,
you
it
tap
is.
Out the coffee. Make more coffee.
It should be that simple.
Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
Unfortunately, it's not. Listen, it's fine. I got strong shoulders. I can carry us around. Welcome to Friday edition of the Skinny on Sports. Right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. We got all kinds of things to talk about. High school basketball tournaments from yesterday got started all across the area. We've also got some NFL, what games matter. And there's an interesting article on ESPN's website. Aaron Schatz wrote it, and he's kind of the football outsider guy. He's a numbers guy. Have you ever heard of DVOA? It's basically a mathematical formula. See, look there. Drew guessed it on the text line. Exactly who didn't do the coffee. Anyhow, it's like a formula that he plugs in there to tell you, your strength with all the different things in there, uh-huh. Right? And so DVOA is kind of a measure of how you play, offense, defense, special teams, opponents, everything put in together. And okay. So he took a look at, because, one of the words that I think is thrown around in sports that is that people think's the thing is the word momentum. How often, we use it.
Well, broadcasters use it.
For sure.
Yeah.
But what is it? Is it even real? I think you can. That's all it is. It's there's no tangibility to it.
Right.
Momentum isn't real, but you can convince yourself as a player or, like you said, broadcaster, that you're seeing momentum.
Yeah, or and you look really smart as a broadcaster when you say, "Team A has finally re-grabbed the momentum," and then they go and win. Unlike me yesterday, where I thought a certain team had grabbed momentum and then they lose.
I heard you say that, and I was actually I could not have agreed more.
Because didn't you feel it? We'll talk about it. We feel like when that team got a lead, I felt like because they've been climbing this mountain, and it feels like once they get over the top, they're not mm-hmm. going to let it go.
That's right. But
But
what happened to the momentum? Of course, everybody will go, well, it shifted to the other side.
Well,
bull. That's not what – it's not real. That's why it shifts all the time. But anyhow, he took a look at teams that are playing well, because that's another thing. Who's the hot team going into the playoffs?
Sure.
That's who I want to,
Yeah.
Is that really a thing? And the results
that's a good question.
Results are kind of mixed, to
we
be quite honest.
We talk about that a lot, though. When we go to the playoffs in high school basketball,
who's
the hot team? Who's that team that looks really good right now going into February?
That's right. Yeah. And so in the NFL, does that really matter? Is the hot team?
So I'm just basically what I'm hearing is this guy is a Debbie Downer.
No. The results are like he basically at the end, it's like, I don't know because
it's a wash.
Basically it is. There's evidence on both sides of it, right?
Okay.
And so it kind of goes back to, well, if you decide that you think that's a thing, you can, and you can have evidence to prove it. And if you decide you don't think that's a thing, there's evidence to prove that as well. So it's really interesting. We'll talk about the games that actually matter. I have taken the time Look at there. I think I've written down every playoff scenario there at the bottom of that page as far as for certain teams, how they can get in, what they can do to be a certain seed, da-da-da-da-da. So we'll talk about all those with the games.
I'm glad you did that because I wrote out a schedule for basketball today.
In the NFL. Oh, fantastic. We'll have to look at that, too, right here off the top. And also, man, you got to send out some prayers as well for a man, one of our colleagues here at Paragon Sports. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has all things. It's got radio, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We'll tell you where and when to watch games today on those two video streams. We've got some radio coverage as well for some games this afternoon and tonight. And so Big Elk TV, Paragon TV through that Paragon app. Of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available if you missed the show entirely as well. iTunes and KADSAM.com. All right, Jared, what's up?
How are you? How was your night? What time did you get it in?
Let's see. I got back here just a little after 8:15, maybe. The Merritt boys game was just finishing up, which I thought was incredibly fast. And then I realized that the schedule kind of flip-flopped out there a little bit. And
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that made more sense, I guess. But I got to tell you, it was such a strange deal because, you know, I was on the air yesterday. I guess we started at, what, 3 or, no, no, 4?
You started about
4. Yeah, it was like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, at some point during my broadcast, I got a text that said, who calls the games for Eric? And I was like, well, it's Kerry Hoekstra. And that was the only question that was asked. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what happened until I got back here, and it was actually a Facebook post. Drew's dad put it out there. Hey, does anybody know how he is?
You didn't know until you got back here at 8?
No. I had no idea any of this had happened.
I thought I was the last to find out about this horrible news.
Drew's dad put that out on Facebook. Hey, does anybody know how Kerry is after he got metaflighted to the city? And I was like, what? And so I text Gabe immediately, like, what the heck happened? And then I find out, you know, all the things. So, you know, Kerry was going to the game. He was in the parking lot at Hammond, fixing to go in and call the Eric game. And then they found him unresponsive. They did some medical stuff to him and flew him up to the city. Sean said he got an update this morning that he was breathing on his own.
Good.
Which is a great thing from what it sounded like yesterday afternoon or you know, for everybody that was there. So, but if you can, shoot out a prayer to Kerry Hoekstra for sure as he's dealing with some kind of medical. I just can't imagine.
I can't either.
The scene there, you know, in the parking lot, you know, with teams arriving and leaving and all that going on with the helicopter. Well, that is just craziness.
From what I heard from Hammond people that I was talking to yesterday, I think we need to give, and I don't know the entire story, but it sounded like the school nurse, I don't know the name, and we'll get that, he or she is a hero because she was a real big reason why she was like one of the first responders, if that makes sense, you know what I mean?
Right.
To get to him. And I don't want to get into the details because I don't know what's confirmed or not. That's my news guy talking. I don't want to put out false facts. But from what I've heard is that the response was quick, and that might have saved his life.
Yeah.
That's a scary situation, and he's been on my mind ever since I found out. So prayers out to him and his family.
Yeah, for sure. Because that is, like you said, that's a totally scary situation. And kudos to everybody involved.
We don't want to speculate what it is or what it was.
No.
They're still trying to figure out.
At the end of the day, that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. But, yeah, I mean, I've dealt well, on my side of the family some medical issues with my father. And so I know what that family's going through. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. But that's some good news that you brought us, breathing on his own.
Yeah, that's what Sean – what Sean had gotten.
Right, all the stuff that we're just being told. So we hope he's all right.
All right, tell us about your games yesterday.
Pretty good games. Both sides, both games. The start with the Canute girls took on Drummond, 16th ranked Drummond, who came in with an 11-2 record. And Canute you in a game like that, you almost have to play dang near perfect basketball. It wasn't the best shooting effort from either side. I don't know if that was because the gym was ice cold or before I get into that, when I got there, the administrator came to me and said, first thing he told me is, I'm sorry, this gym is cold. I've had the heat on. It's taking a little bit to heat up. I said, dude, as long as it's warmer in here than it is out there, I think we're okay. But the Canute defense was playing lights out, lockdown defense. They never switched out of a zone. They barely fouled, maybe two first half fouls. Of course, that's a short bench that Canute has allowed Coach Riddling. She didn't. I was trying to think about this on the drive home. I can't remember. I'm sure I've seen it, and I'm sure we've seen it. Have you ever seen a team win without subbing?
I think I've seen her do it.
Well, that's what happened. She didn't have to sub out or in a player.
Or actually, her mom do it.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Come to think of it.
Yeah. And because they were playing sound defense, making it incredibly hard for Drummond to find anything inside, forcing Drummond to try to shoot over the zone. They were not hitting their shots. Canute did just enough to pull away to a point where you knew Drummond wasn't going to be able to catch up because of that defense. So, a great effort. And now they got a tough test today, taking on Sealing, who, I mean, we don't need to – I mean, we can go on and on about Sealing and their accolades, but another fantastic team that they produced. And, man, they scored 80-some on Visalia yesterday. So, another tough test for Canute, but they're in the semis. And the boys' game, they took on the host team Sealing. And it was a game where they had a rough start, but they never let it get out of hand despite the rough start. And their shooting was a little off. And then once they got settled down, and I was real worried about the layover between their last game on December 17th up until yesterday, if they're going to have a cold start. And indeed, there was. Sealing had already played two games before yesterday. They played Monday night and Tuesday. So I was kind of thinking, well, maybe Canute has the advantage there as far as stamina is concerned. But on the other side of that is they've played two games. They're back. That was Canute's first game since December 17th outside of practices and scrimmages. So they stuck with Sealing for the longest time, tied it twice. The second time they tied it, they eventually got the lead. They got their first lead in the fourth quarter, and it came down tight, but some missed shots. I mean, they missed some wide open shots, some questionable calls and non-calls. I won't get too much into that. I mean, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, Canute's just got to make their shots. There's some wide open shots underneath the bucket they just didn't put in. And so they'll have to adjust. They got Arnett today. Should be a nice bounce back game for them. And, you know, and I said it last night, and, you know, and I said it yesterday, or I've said it before yesterday. You come into this tournament with the field that it has, it's kind of one of those real tough tournaments. If you walk away with a 2-1 record, despite how you got there, you did something pretty good at this tournament. So I think Canute, both teams have a chance of doing that. And it's a big opportunity for the girls. Back to the girls, you know, you're taking on one of the top teams in Class A, number 3 Sealing. And, you know, time to prove your worth. You know, last time you took on a top team, Arapahoe, they thumped them. They got thumped. Can they avoid something like that and show, you know, because the Canute girls are playing really, really, really good basketball right now. Really, and it continued from that Duke game. There's no that Drummond win was almost more impressive than the Duke win in a weird way. So can they continue that? Can they continue to play some good, solid basketball? I'd like to see it. And it starts on the defensive end for me. The offense will be there with Kylie Smith, Jade Gregg, Abby Janning. Once they get going, once they start hitting their shots, the offense will be there. Starts on the defensive end. Can they hamper down that electric Sealing offense? That's the question of the day.
Yeah, that's my – you know, you talk about the offense being there. You only scored 36. I mean, it's going to take way more than 36
absolutely
to beat Sealing.
Absolutely.
And the game will be different, obviously, with, you know, with that, the way that's going to go. It's going to be different. But, yeah, I think that you're you know, it's going to be a totally different animal and a totally different style of play from what the Trojanettes saw. I thought the Trojans, man, they had every chance to win that game, just didn't get it done. You know, and I was the same way with you. You said, man, if they can ever get the lead, because how many times do you see a team, you know, creep back within two, within one, and they never do get over that hump to take the lead? Canute actually did. what, 35-33, and then from there they got outscored 11-3. And the three they scored was a heave under 10 seconds from Maddox that banked in. I mean, so they didn't actually score any points when the game was in doubt after they took that lead. You don't necessarily see that happen. Maybe they kind of expended all their energy to get there and then didn't have enough to finish. You know, it seemed like Kyren missed a couple right at the front of the rim. You know, just
stuff like that.
Ones that just didn't go in. I mean, it was good looks that just didn't fall.
And they did all of this.
And a couple free throws, too. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ceiling's down there pouring in every free throw they took. And the one they miss, they get the offensive rebound.
Right. With no one out of bucket.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Kobe Maddox was three. That was his only points. I mean, he is.
I don't remember him taking a shot.
He was very rarely held out of a game like that, and that was a big thing for me too, was that he was just held scoreless essentially. So, but I think they'll be okay. I mean, now that they got that game, you know, they're reacclimated back into the season. Let's, you know, today's a good opportunity taking on a struggling Arnett team, and bounce back and get yourself to that consolation championship game and try to go 2-1 in this thing.
Yeah, same. It's similar with the Elks. Boy, howdy, they just got out executed, man. Fort Cobb, we've seen it for years. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is one of the most vintage Fort Cobb teams by any stretch. I don't think it's that, but they're good. Not taking that away from them, but it's nowhere near one of the great, great Fort Cobb teams, right? It's just not that, and so. You know, you had a chance there. It was close in the first half, and then that third quarter, it just seems like every game the Elks have a lull at some point where they go through a 4 or 5 minute stretch with 3 points. Meanwhile, on the other end, you know, the game just kind of gets away from them, and so they weren't able to win. The Elkettes, on the other hand, easy win. Newcastle struggled against the pressure, and that's now, you know, dating back to Tuesday night, about midway through that second quarter, when Elk City was down 28-10 to Anadarko on the girls' side, and then all of a sudden, here they came, got all the way back, shooting free throws down three with about 2 minutes left. So you go, you know what, 6.5 quarters worth. Defensively, the Elkettes have been really, really good, and that helps them then be able to get some easy baskets because, quite frankly, when they have to slow it down and get in the half court, they have a hard time generating points. So I think it's been a really good move by Coach Hamm to make it more of a 94-foot game, use the athleticism, of Kaylin Burton. All of a sudden, she looks like a totally different player out in the open floor, both on offense and defense. So that was a really good performance for the most part. You're starting to see the young ones, Abby Brown in particular. That's now her second straight game with a career high. She had 11 against Anadarko, had 16 yesterday afternoon against Newcastle, and not only 16, but then also – it was golly, what was the score? It was like 29-point game or something at halftime, 25-point game, somewhere in there. And the Elkettes scored the first four, so then it was right around 30. And all of a sudden, Newcastle put like 10 in a row on the board. Just kind of methodically got – and then all – so you're thinking, golly, now it's 40-20. I do remember that being the score on that run, thinking, gosh. And then you look up, and all of a sudden it's 49-20. Ella Satilli, a freshman, knocked one in. Abby Brown, the other freshman, knocked two in. Just boom, 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 three threes, and you know, then the game's back over. So that's good to see. It's a different test today with Community Christian for the Elkettes in the semifinals. And then the Elks play Gracemont, which is a game they have to win. Gracemont hadn't won a game yet. So that's one of those that the Elks kind of get off the schneid and then see, you know what would be pretty interesting?
Mm. What's that?
In the other consolation semifinal, you know who it is?
I looked at the bracket, but I didn't look at the bracket.
The Elk City JV. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, that'd be funny. Would that just be a – what would that be? What would you call it? Like a
– I don't know. That'd be
– like a glorified scrimmage or
– Macy – I don't know. That'd be interesting to me. See what would happen.
What if a fight broke out?
Maybe it needs to.
A couple coaches get tossed.
maybe it needs to. No, but that would be pretty interesting if that were to happen.
Yeah.
But let's see. So we got today, 3:00, the Elks and Gracemont go at it in that consolation semifinal over at Hinton. And then immediately following at 4:20, the Elkettes and Community Christian will be the first winners bracket semifinal. So 3:00 and 4:20 on Big Elk TV and also Cool 94 for the Elk City games. Let's see. Do you have any of these brackets completely filled out?
No. Listen.
I'll tell you what I'm going to hand you.
I had a ton. I got the Ward Center. I don't have the scores, but I got the.
Take that one. I filled it out. And why don't you talk a little bit while I fill some of the rest of these out?
About the Warrior Classic. Well, we'll start with the Warrior Classic over in Hammond. Man, Hammond boys, it looked like they had control of that game. I was going in and out of that one. And then I went back in to see the final, and it went to overtime, and they lost to Boys City 50-47. That's a tough one for the Hammond boys. Hammond girls thumped CBA 74-27. I'll stay in the girls bracket. Hammond girls will take on Eric. Eric has come on as of late, I've noticed. They defeated Sentinel 35-21. Bingeroni fell to Boys City by 33-32. And then La Mega JV fell to Shattuck 57-47. So in the girls bracket, matchups today will be in the semifinals, Hammond and Eric. That's a 7 o'clock game. Boys City and Shattuck earlier at 4 o'clock. Constellation Semis is CBA and Sentinel, and Bingeroni and La Mega JV. In the boys bracket, I mentioned the Hammond game. They will take on CBA as Sentinel beat them. Sentinel boys, you know, the two hottest teams in this tournament to me are the Eric girls and the Sentinel boys. Sentinel boys defeated CBA, 59-30. And in the other side of the bracket, it was Shattuck defeating Eric 67-37, and La Mega beating Bingeroni 56-41. Today's boys action sees Sentinel Boys City in one semifinal, Eric and La Mega in the other. Constellation Semis is Hammond boys taking on CBA, and Eric boys and Bingeroni. All those Hammond games on Warrior TV, by the way, and the Eric games will be on Bearcat TV. They will be on. Despite yesterday, it will happen. So you can watch that. In the Ward Center Classic over in Salem, we talked about the Canute games. Canute girls win. Canute boys lose. The girls will take on Salem. A tough ask. That's happening at 6 o'clock tonight. They defeated Visai pretty handedly. Again, I apologize. I didn't write down the scores. I was quickly writing down the winners and losers. Arnett defeated Texoma. Arnett girls, pretty good. And Cyril girls, I caught some of that when I was breaking down. They're real solid. They're real solid. They got their eighth win of the year, taking down Fargo Gage Fort Supply. And the boys' bracket, it was, I believe it was Visai. That was the last game I was trying to find, and I couldn't find it. But the Visai boys, who are ranked, and I'm just impressed with every time I've seen them play, they were taking on Drummond. Believe that they did win, if I'm wrong, Texas. And Texoma boys defeated the Arnett boys. So today's semifinals and the boys action in the Ward Center is Texoma and Sealing at 7:20, Visai and Surreal. That game, I might, you know what? I get to watch it because it's between my two games. So that's going to be a fun one. Constellation semis today in the girls bracket, Visai and Drummond, and Texoma and Fargo Gage Fort Supply. I have to keep slowing down and think. I also want to call him Forgan Gage. Fargo Gage Fort Supply. And in the boys' constellation, Arnett and Canute, they play at 2 o'clock today. And Drummond and Fargo Gage Fort Supply at 11:20. So the Canute boys at 2, Canute girls at 6. So there's some games between there, but you can catch the Canute games on Trojan TV on ParagonTV.com. That's what I got there. You got updated stuff on your end? Oh, we got another one here.
Yeah, do that one.
Right, the Western Equipment Classic in Arapahoe. Let's start at the top of the girls' bracket. Amber Pocasset defeated Cordell 75-25. Is that right? Sayre defeated Snyder 39-9?
That's what I found.
Ooh. Okay. Arapahoe Butler. Is that right? Arapahoe Butler defeated Cheyenne 49-19?
That's what I found.
Okay.
I'm not the one putting these scores into OSSA rankings.
Are the teams showing up? My goodness. Southwest Covenant fell to Lakeba Sickles 61-24. Talk about blowouts in every game. My goodness. In the boys bracket, Amber Pocasset defeated Cordell 65-49. Southwest Covenant defeated Sayre 65-45. Lakeba Sickles took down Snyder.
60, I think. I think 60, it was 60
is that
to 45.
60
yeah.
to 45. Lakeba Sickles defeated Snyder 65-53. Looks like Snyder might be taking a step back from last year. And Arapahoe Butler boys defeated Cheyenne 41-28 at the Western Equipment Classic. So today's games look like this. Girls Constellation semifinals, Cordell and Snyder at 10:30. Cheyenne, Radon, Southwest Covenant at 110. And the boys' bracket, Constellation, Cordell and Sayre at 230, Snyder and Cheyenne, Radon at 1150. In the semifinals tonight, or today, it'll be Arapahoe Butler Girls and Lakeba Sickles, Ampo and Sayre in the boys' bracket, Ampo and Southwest Covenant, Lakeba Sickles and Arapahoe Butler. This looks like Arapahoe Butler's turn with the win. I'm high on them.
On yep. Which side?
Both.
Mm.
Who do you got?
Ampo Girls.
You got Ampo Girls?
Oh, yeah. It'll be a good test. I think today's game will be fun. Listen, yeah. Lakeba Sickles top five in the girls in Class B. That'll be a good one.
Yeah.
Arapahoe Butler and Lakeba Sickles. Listen, though.
You smell that?
What?
I smell a burrito bit.
What do you want? Fire it off.
If we're staying with the girls, bro, I'll go with Arapahoe Butler.
And I can have everybody else?
Sure.
Well, you have to take that just because you get everybody else. You get the other three.
Yeah, I'll go with Arapahoe Butler in the girls' bracket to win this thing. Listen, I'm sticking with it. I think both those teams are making state.
I will take that bet.
Okay.
Sounds I will fine. Take that burrito
right.
bet.
Something
just
to look forward
I get
to
three
Monday
teams,
morning.
You get one. How can I turn that down?
Just
a second. Keep talking a little bit. Keep making bets.
Looks. Oh, man. So I know I sent you. You don't have to fill out that bracket. I sent you that Weatherford tournament bracket. Look like, and that was the first time I sent it to you because I got it right when I got it. I was like, yeah, I'll send this to Aaron. He might want it too. I know Clinton won, the Clinton boys won, the girls lost. And an interesting stat was sent my way with that. Let me bring it up. Carmella Jefferson could get to 1,000 points on Friday today. Caden Powell is 49 points away. I didn't realize he had scored that many points in his career.
Yeah, it's funny how they just add
up. I had a feeling
up.
Jefferson, she can score. But I didn't, man.
It doesn't surprise me.
Powell, I think he had like 30 against Weatherford on Tuesday.
He did. He had 30 against Weatherford. Golly, you know what? I was listening to the Weatherford girls game a little bit coming back until I could get in range for Jess and Andy.
Yeah.
Golly, refresh me and I can tell you who won. Bitch McGinnis beat Clinton on the girls' side. Clinton beat Guthrie on the boys' side. Tuttle won a game. Tuttle boys won.
Yeah, Tuttle now. Tuttle Clinton.
They
boys
play Clinton.
That should be a fun one.
Weatherford was hammering. I guess Elgin. I can't think of any other Owls. That's who they were playing. It was like 57-11 at halftime. So Weatherford girls will have won. I believe they take on McGinnis. If I'm not mistaken, because I think
yeah.
Weatherford Clinton was going to be the matchup there.
Yeah.
Who else? Name out some other teams.
Well, in the girls bracket,
Elgin boys won.
It did. Okay. Well, they beat UConn.
That's correct.
So, do you know if Weatherford boys beat Lawton Knight?
No, that was the last game of
the
night.
Not sure there, but no, Clinton won and Tuttle won. Again, that should be a fun one. Was that 6:30 tonight? Feels good. Feels like a. Who knows? Kind of, because Tuttle's coming off a loss. They came off a loss going into that game against Blanchard. And Tuttle was, what, ranked fourth, fifth?
Yeah, they're super high up there.
Yeah, and they lost by 2 to an unranked Blanchard team on Tuesday night. Who knows? I didn't read it.
I agree 100%. yeah, Weatherford beat Lawton Knight 69-52 on the boys' side.
I remember Canute tracking that.
Harding Charter. Golly, seems like they may have won a game. They're in this tournament over there at Weatherford.
Booker T. Washington team is a JV team.
That's a JV, yeah. Whoever, they lost.
Harding Charter beat them.
Beat them, yeah. So that's about that whole tournament.
Okay.
Getting merits wrapped up.
So
here.
Yeah. So can you explain the merit thing?
I can't.
So the merit JV, they don't have a JV, so that dropped out of that tournament and they moved the merit girls into the JV spot.
I doubt it because they had played Hooker.
Well, somehow,
merit didn't play.
Somehow merit girls got a bye.
Merit girls didn't play. I think what happened was
they moved the team down to play who merit was.
I think
going
they
to
moved. Play. Oklahoma City Knights up to play Hooker when the Merritt JV lost or bowed out is what happened because Hooker beat the Oklahoma City Knights.
Yeah, 62. Yeah, that's how I wrote it.
62
okay.
to 2.
So does that mean the loser of the Hollis Frederick game automatically gets a bye straight to Saturday?
No. That means the loser of Turpin Mangum does. because the Knights went up to play Hooker. They're there.
Just throw this thing away. I have no idea what I'm looking
They're
at.
There. I think the whoever – I'll tell you here in just 1 second. I'm right here on Mangum. All right, so Mangum lost to Turpin 60-30 on the girls' side. I think Mangum is now in the consolation final because Merritt didn't play anybody, so there's nobody to go to the left with them. All right, it'd be Hooker and Frederick in one semifinal out at Merritt on the girls' side, and then Merritt will play Turpin. That'll be a 6:30 tip for Merritt and Turpin on the girls' side. That's Paragon TV, also right here on the Radio Cool 94. The Hooker boys won, the Mangum boys won, so they'll play at 5:15. Frederick beat Hollis, and then Merritt beat Wellington. So Merritt and Frederick will play at 7:45. That's the nightcap. You can catch that on Paragon TV and also right here on KADS. Is that everybody? Goodness gracious. I got the oil center.
Yeah, real quick, I might need to make a correction on, do the oil center, and I'll see if I need to make a correction.
All right, Laverne, on the girls' side, Laverne beat Alvis JV 58-23, so Laverne will take on Tyrone. Tyrone knocked off Leedy 45-32. Then down on the bottom of that bracket, Balco 53-40 winners over Moreland. They will play Forgan as Forgan beat the Woodward JV. Boys, I can't find a Western Heights Alva JV score. Western Heights girls didn't play. I know Woodward's JV jumped into that spot on the girls' bracket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know what happened there. Somebody's going to play Moreland because Moreland beat Tyrone 47-42. Then down on the bottom, the Leedy Bison topped Forgan. Forgan's number 12 in Class B. Leedy got him 65-60 in overtime. They will play Laverne as Laverne and Balco went at it. Laverne beat them 52-20.
I was on the wrong bracket. Sorry. You're talking about the boys' bracket.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know who won the top
JV
game.
Girls played Laverne.
That's right.
I did find.
Yeah, but down at the bottom, see, it was supposed to be Forgan and Western Heights. That game shows Forgan and Woodward JV. So, I don't know if Western Heights didn't make it. Maybe Moreland plays Alva's JV. Who knows? I can't figure out who won that
Western
top.
Heights, isn't that school district that was having some trouble?
Mm-hmm. It is. That's why I was kind of shocked to see that one out there. But anyhow.
I still have a school?
Anyhow, they played some games. I do know that. Maybe Lake can help us out if he's listening on who Moreland will play. But Leedy will be, let's see, trying to read this bracket. Leedy will be, is that 5:30?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell if it's 5:30 or 8:30?
We had a Leedy boys lost, right?
No, they won. 65-60 in overtime.
Lost. Right. Oh, my goodness.
Girls play at 1 o'clock. Boys either.
No, I think the top game's at 5:30.
I do, too. I think it's 8:30 on the bottom there.
8:30 on the bottom.
So 1 o'clock for the Leedy girls, 8:30 for Leedy boys. Boy, this is a mess.
Welcome to tournament week. Wait till the playoffs start.
Let's take a break. Just tune into Paragon TV. Oh. There'll be games on all day long.
You know, I'll take that schedule. I might post that.
What's that?
Did you see a schedule I typed out for you?
No.
Okay, well.
Oh, I may have thrown it away because I thought it was yesterday's.
How's that work? All that work for nothing.
Thanks for the work, Jared. All right, here. After all that confusion.
You dig it out of the trash, did you?
That I fired away there in that
And
first
I do need to make that correction.
Long segment.
Visai was beaten by Drummond in the boys' bracket of the Ward Center Classic. So it will be Visai and Fargo. Gage, Fort Supply, today at 11:20.
Okay, so here's what we got. 11:30, Hammond versus Corn Bible Academy, Paragon TV. That's a boys' game. At 1 o'clock, a girls' game, Leedy versus Alvis JV. At 2 o'clock, Canute Arnett boys up at ceiling. At 2:30, Eric versus Bingeroni at Hammond. At 3, those are all Paragon TV. Now at 3 o'clock, the Elk City boys will play Gracemont over in Hinton. That's a Big Elk TV and Cool 94. At 4 o'clock... You've got, whoa, is that right? No. Oh, you thought they went up. That's why. Scratch that 4 o'clock.
I'm sorry, what did I do?
The Merritt. You thought Merritt went up, but they stayed where they were.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. 4:20, Elk City and Community Christian Girls. That's Big Elk TV and Cool. Then at 6 o'clock, your game, Canute and Ceiling on Paragon TV. I think, is it 6:30? I've got the bracket right here. 6:30 for Merritt. Taking on Turpin. That's Paragon TV and also right here on KADS. 7 o'clock, Hammond and Eric on Paragon TV. 7:45, Merritt and Frederick on the boys' side, Paragon TV, and right here on KADS. And then the nightcap tonight on Paragon TV is Leedy and Laverne at 8:30. There you go.
Man, this is fun.
It's all day long. All right, NFL playoffs this weekend. Or not
what?
Playoffs. It's not playoffs yet.
What?
I'm confused.
What?
We might as well just,
did
you know
I
what?
Skip a week?
Should we, never mind, I'm not going to be mean to anybody. Thinking about, should we just pull the plug and quit?
Why?
Because everything's going bad.
What's going bad? Oh, you mean the COVID?
The show. The show is disjointed. It's not very good today. Should we just stop broadcasting and go on down life's path?
Is someone complaining?
No. Just me. Because of my lack of preparation. All right, NFL, not the playoffs yet. It's the last week of the regular season.
I think the show's fantastic.
I think it's pretty bad. We'll have to go back and listen and choose.
We got a lot of good basketball talk in.
Anyway. Okay, so the games that matter. Obviously, the Sunday night game matters, maybe, depending on the Colts, right? Vegas and the Chargers. That one matters. The one on Sunday afternoon between San Francisco and the Rams absolutely matters. The Rams can win the West. San Francisco can make the playoffs. Let's see. Arizona's game matters to them. Tampa Bay's game matters to them. Are there any others that it matters to both teams? Probably not. That's why they put them in that place in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dallas and Philly. I mean, both teams are in the playoffs, though, so it's not like it's losing you're out. Pittsburgh and Baltimore matters to both because they both have to win and then hope they get some help. So there's still a little bit of intrigue. You know what's crazy?
What's that?
New England is the fifth seed right now in the AFC playoffs. They can still be the one.
Isn't that nuts? How is that a lot of help, I'm sure.
Funny you ask that, Jared. Okay. they would win the AFC East with a win and a Buffalo loss. Then, as the you know, that those two things have to happen, and then they'd get the one seed with Kansas City and Tennessee losses as well. So they win, Buffalo loses, Kansas City loses, Tennessee loses, and New England goes from the fifth seed to the one seed.
Wouldn't that be the New England way?
What games intrigue you? I mean, that last one on Sunday night is intriguing to me just because of the scenarios. And listen,
yeah,
talked about the Colts. The Colts go to Jacksonville. They haven't won there since 2015. But Jacksonville right now would have the number one pick in the draft, and so a win does not help them whatsoever. But a Colts loss opens up a lot of these scenarios.
So that's the first answer, right? Jacksonville, Indianapolis.
For a bunch of it, yeah.
Because of the ramifications of a Jacksonville win, what could, you know, these other games, especially the very last one, Las Vegas and the Chargers.
Yeah, and then Colts losing makes Pittsburgh-Baltimore so much more interesting as well.
Right.
So if the Colts were to lose, then Pittsburgh winning, they would be the Pittsburgh would need a Colts loss, and then for the Chargers and Raiders not to tie.
Oh, okay.
But if the Colts lose, then the Chargers and Raiders are both in with a tie.
With a tie.
That's why that's so interesting there, the way that could work. Baltimore needs the Colts to lose, Chargers to lose, and the Dolphins to lose.
So if the Colts lose, and you talk about the tie scenario, if they tie, who does that screw?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. So who would Pittsburgh be rooting for, given Pittsburgh beats Baltimore in that Las Vegas, Los Angeles game?
Literally not a tie.
Just anybody.
Not a tie.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Okay.
It can't be a tie.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go, Jaguars.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I thought it was funny enough when we thought maybe that the Chargers and Raiders would play for a tie if the Colts, but then throw in Pittsburgh needing that not to happen to make the playoffs. Pretty interesting. So Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the winner's still in, the loser's out. Pittsburgh's got the better chance at 8%, but that Colts loss, you know, Colts are 81%. So more than likely, Indy is going to beat Jacksonville. But if they don't, that's when everybody's watching scoreboards and everybody's watching that Sunday night game. to see if they're just going to kneel it and end up tying on purpose. Elsewhere in the AFC, Cincinnati can still be the one seed. If they win, they need losses from all three teams, Tennessee, New England, and Kansas City. More than likely, Tennessee's playing Houston. Tennessee wins, they're the one seed. And then it falls behind them in order from there. And so that's kind of, I think Tennessee opening up the one seed to everybody else is something to watch for. And obviously that Colts game is something to watch for because, you know, Indianapolis winning and a lot of this stuff doesn't even matter. Then the sole focus then goes to Chargers, Raiders. Whoever wins that game will make it if Indianapolis wins.
Right.
On the NFC side, it's pretty simple. Six of the seven teams have their playoff spot. You're going to have the four division winners, which is Dallas, Tampa Bay, either the Rams or Arizona, the other one that doesn't win the division still in the playoffs, and then who am I missing? Green Bay. So those five are there. Philly's in no matter what. And so it comes down to San Francisco wins, and they're in. If San Francisco loses, the Saints win, they're in. But if both lose, San Francisco's still in, right? So a win for San Francisco, they're in. If they lose, New Orleans needs to beat Carolina. Or actually, no, they don't play Carolina. They play Atlanta. So New Orleans needs to beat Atlanta and then hope that the Rams beat the Niners.
I haven't looked into it extensively or whatever. I haven't really looked into this, but I haven't heard – here we come up to the last week of the regular season. Have you heard a lot of teams saying we're resting our guys?
Man, it doesn't
resting our quarterback.
It doesn't feel like it because there's so many scenarios still in play.
Scenarios out there where a one seed could lose that one seed. You know what I mean? And lose that bye and all that stuff. There's still those scenarios. We were kind of talking about that with Dallas and Philly. Would it matter if they both rested or one or the other did? We haven't heard that.
I do think that if Philly beat Dallas, you might be able to see Brady not play, because at that point they're locked into no worse than third.
Yeah,
and they're kind of at the mercy of what happens with the Rams anyway, right? Because isn't Tampa Bay, are they 12-4, 11-5? I think they're 11-5, right?
Tampa Bay.
No,
is
they're 12-4.
Yeah.
So, but they're.
I think in that scenario,
but they're still at the mercy of the Rams.
Yeah.
Because if L.A. wins, then they have the tiebreaker over Tampa because they beat them. And it would just be a two-way tie.
So you would need – they would want to win that game against Carolina if L.A. wins, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between – well, if L.A. wins, it doesn't matter. If L.A. wins,
okay.
They win the West.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it doesn't matter what Tampa does.
So in that scenario, if you're going to rest Tom, I think he should play a half, and then he should just, you know, take off his jersey and shirt and just skip off the field.
Well, honestly, you know what might happen? They might start out with Brady playing because they play at 325 just like the Rams.
And then watch the scoreboard.
That's right. If it's 21-0 at halftime, the Rams are ahead, maybe they set Tom.
How do you coach in that situation?
It'd be hard. Probably harder with Antonio Brown refusing to play, but you know, that's one of those things that you know, it's probably a feel thing. You know, San Francisco obviously is playing their tail off.
Oh yeah,
because they have to win that game to ensure themselves a playoff spot. And so, you know, I guess honestly, Dallas, you know, the chances of Carolina beating Tampa aren't great. You know, San Francisco beating the Rams would be a much better opportunity, but you probably need to win that game just in case something happens.
Which suddenly got harder.
Hmm.
Is Parsons out for good?
What?
Are you going to COVID protocol?
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, you might want to look into that. Depends on what day you went into it.
Oh, I thought you meant out for good meant something totally different than that.
Status is iffy as Cowboys star on COVID list.
Okay.
That was 2 days ago. So,
man, that's something else to talk about next week. Are we serious with the COVID list in the playoffs? Come on. Enough of the COVID list.
Aren't we happy, though, they're talking about moving the Super Bowl?
You know, I read that from Outkick, and it's something that we've been talking about forever. do it. But they have to do it now. They can't wait around.
They need to do it now. Let's go ahead. Let's move it to Arlington, and let's assure Dallas gets a home Super Bowl game versus Cincinnati, and then me and my brother-in-law will go.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's kind of the perfect scenario. I'll tell you what. That's kind of the NFL. Be a lot more to talk about on Monday when we know, you know, where everybody's headed, what the matchups are.
Yeah, then
we can really.
I'm just saying this last week. It's just there's a lot of intrigue with scenarios here. Just haven't, and maybe this was by design to get this extra game in there, so you could avoid the resting stuff.
But it's always there. There's always
it's going to happen. It's going to happen on the fly.
It does seem like maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's 17 games. Maybe it's just the nature of what happened this year, but it does feel like it's more bunched up. There's not that, you know, Green Bay's the only team with only three losses. Usually, you know, you've got a two-loss team or a three-loss, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, only Green Bay was able to get out to 13-3. Everybody else with four or more, which has made it bunch way up. And, you know, I don't remember a time, really, when a team could go from the fifth seed going into the weekend to the one seed.
No.
Just in one week in a play. I don't remember that at all. So it makes some of it intriguing, but the intrigue will fall pretty quickly if the Colts just blast Jacksonville, at least on the AFC side.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you'll really be looking for is, okay, who won the West? Because Dallas gets the other team. If it's the Rams, then that means are the Saints in or the Niners in? Depending on if the Rams win, that means the Niners have to have the Saints lose to Atlanta. So there's not a ton. But I think the one way that it gets fun is, for one game anyway, is if the Colts do win, then the Sunday night game is for all of it. It's Chargers, Raiders, winners in, losers out.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it's probably what I'm hoping for. I think it'd be funny to see how everybody reacts to a Jacksonville win and how they play it. But for good football, you kind of want that Sunday night to be winning you're in.
Right.
Actually, got an update from Gabe, courtesy of Carrie Hoekstra's wife. Carrie's much better today. That's good news. Still trying to figure out kind of what happened, but good news that Carrie is better this morning. And so that's super good news. From what was a scary situation up there in Hammond. And then on the text line, you know, we got this as we were talking about kind of how, you know, the events or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We got this Keith Smith, the town cop, Jeff Morton, the elementary principal, and then Ryan Baker, the superintendent, all did CPR for 20 minutes before the ambulance arrived, nonstop. So that's
wow,
big, big, big tip of the cap and a shout out to those guys for – you know, just doing it, man. Just seeing what had to be done and doing it and getting it done. And that's fantastic. Fantastic job by those three guys, Keith Smith, Jeff Morton, and Ryan Baker. So kudos to those guys. Good to hear from Carrie's wife that he's doing better this morning. But that doesn't mean the prayer should stop for Carrie. He's still going to need those to get all the way back out of there. So, man, scary. What a scary situation,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And again, kudos to those who responded just without thinking. Just, you know, fellow man helping another fellow man.
You know, I not to this level as far as seriousness of what happened condition-wise, but I saw a similar thing happen as far as leaping into the fray.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago at church.
Oh, really?
One of our church members was having a seizure. Mm. So, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And
right.
And this lady's a nurse. And she just, without thinking, like you said, just snapped right in, knew what to do, got the situation figured out, knew who to call, you know, and all that. It's awesome to watch.
Yeah.
What you think of as just normal people become superheroes in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just spring in the action. And that's just, it's awesome. Just awesome. And we're glad he's, you know, and again, I said top of the show, you know, and I heard that about the defibrillator thing, school nurse brought that in. And then those gentlemen there, you know, and like you said, that update that Carrie is getting better and they're still going to assess some things, but it very well could have saved his life without just springing in the action.
I
think there's no doubt.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that that's not the truth. So, kudos to those guys up there in Hammond again. Keith Smith, Jeff Morton, Ryan Baker, and everybody else. Those are just the three that we got named here, but everybody else to know what to do. And that's why they train that way. That's why they have that training. And to see it so far really work. And like you said, quite literally save a life, at least elongate a life is great work. All right, let's see what we got today. One more time. Run down the schedule. So at 11:30. Up there in Hammond, the Hammond boys will play Corn Bible Academy. That is Paragon TV. At 1 o'clock, the Leedy girls will play the Alva JV at the Oil Center Classic at Woodward. That's also Paragon TV. 2 o'clock, you'll have Canute and Arnett on the boys' side up in Sealing at the Ward Center Classic, Paragon TV. At 2:30, we will have Eric and Bingaroni on the boys' side up there at the Warrior Classic from Hammond. That's a 2:30 tip, Paragon TV. 3 o'clock, I'll be over in Hinton with Elk City and Gracemont Boys. That's Cool 94 and Big Elk TV. Immediately followed at 4:20 with the Elk City Girls and Community Christian. Same thing, Big Elk TV and Cool 94. 6 o'clock, you'll have Canute and Sealing on Paragon TV. 6:30, Merritt versus Turpin on the girls' side. That's 6:30, Paragon TV, and right here on this station on KADS. 7 o'clock, Paragon TV, Hammond and Eric. 7:45, Merritt Boys and Frederick right here on KADS and also Paragon TV. And then the nightcap, boy, they got a long day up there in Woodward, Lake and Treasure, from 1 o'clock all the way to 8:30. But 8:30, semifinal action on Paragon TV, Leedy and Laverne. We got it?
I think you got it.
Killed it. All right, have a safe trip.
You too.
Yeah.
Have fun and hitting.
Internet's a funny thing, isn't it?
Why is that?
I mean, I was riding high yesterday afternoon with the Elk City girls at over 35
and then,
upload speed, and then all of a sudden it's just blinking. I'm like, what's happening?
I got one better. I went straight dead. Best internet I've had all year.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's not there.
Yeah, crazy.
Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!